Good morning and welcome to the second hour of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers for the program, Harriet Williams and Martha Dielkamp Mabry, is at the controls this morning. When Champaign County residents go to the polls next month, they will be asked to vote on a 1% sales tax increase that would benefit Champaign County schools. This money raised would do a number of things, including renovate old buildings that need it, and in some districts it would build new ones. This morning we'll be talking about this referendum with two guests who take opposing views on the question. John Dimmitt is the vice president of the Urbana Board of Education. He's here to speak in favor of the referendum, and also with us is Diana Visick. She chairs the Champaign County Libertarian Party, and she suggests that voters should say no. We'll have the opportunity for both of them to make the case for either yes or no. And of course, people who are listening, you're welcome to call. You can tell us what you think. You can ask questions. Either way, calls are welcome. The only thing we ask of people who are calling in is that people just try to be brief so that we can get in as many callers as possible and keep things moving along. But certainly questions, comments from people listening are welcome. If you are in Champaign-Urbana, here where we are, 333-9455 is the number. If it would be a long-distance call, you can use the toll-free line, that's 800-222-9455. At any point here, questions are welcome. Well, thank you both very much for being here.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate it. Just to start out, I want to make sure people know exactly what it is that's being proposed here. 1% sales tax increase here in Champaign County, the money to be shared out, and we can talk about exactly how this happens among schools in Champaign County, but this tax does not cover everything. John Dimmitt just to explain what the tax covers and what it does.
Well, it covers all things that are taxed, currently taxed for sales tax, except for food that you buy at the grocery store, meds, vehicles, titled vehicles, mobile homes, farm machinery, and cars.
Okay, so no groceries, no medicines, no cars. But if you buy a big screen TV, that's good.
That's taxed.
That's taxed.
Also, school clothes would be taxed. Toiletries, all kinds of basic items for families would be taxed.
So clothing, a lot of the other things that people buy.
Normal things that people buy. Okay. And restaurant food would also be taxed.
All right. Let me ask John, why is this needed? Why are you asking people to vote yes?
Well, school finance is based on two big areas. One side is operations and the other side is capital improvements. And we have a tax rate that is capped, tax caps affected, for the operations side. But on the capital side, we don't have any regular revenue. We rely on bond issues that are passed periodically. And that provides us with what money we do get for capital improvements. On occasion, there is a grant program from the state of Illinois that helps. But for the most part, it's the bond issues. That forces us to go into debt financing for any capital expense we make. And it's also periodic. It's not regular. And so we feel that we can be more intelligent in our budgeting. We can be more responsive to our actual needs if we have a regular source of revenue that comes in every month like sales tax would.
Mm-hmm. So this is, again, just to make sure people understand, this money would go to things like making improvements in old buildings, building new ones, but it doesn't go to salaries.
No.
All right.
And it doesn't go to things like janitorial service. It would be maintenance, meaning like repairs, not sweeping the floors or something like that.
Okay. That's correct.
Okay. Well, let me ask Diana Visick, tell me why you wrote a piece very clearly. It appeared in our local newspaper. You're suggesting that people should say no. Why do you think that people should say no?
I think the major reason for saying no is that we live in a very wacky state, in case people haven't noticed this. And the legislature, unfortunately, plays games with education money. They have a track record for this. So in the past, when they proposed a lottery that was supposed to go for education, we voted it in. They put the lottery into effect. The money did indeed go for education, but then they reduced the money coming from the general fund by the same amount. So education had the same amount of funding, but the legislature had a lot more money to spend on other things that they wanted. And I've already heard from insiders in Springfield that they're planning to do similar games with this money, so that whatever money we would raise here for construction and facilities purposes would sooner or later be would reduce the amount of money we actually got from the state. And frankly, I don't think that's fair at all. There are people associated with the chamber who are Chamber of Commerce who are trying to fix some of the limitations of this bill, but that's not going to be done anytime soon, certainly not before we vote. And this is only one of the many reasons why this law is bad. It was very badly conceived in general, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It was slapped together without much thought. And they really need to go back to the drawing board and fix some things. Like, there's no sunset clause. This law would go in perpetuity. And one of the problems is that Illinois actually has been dropping in population. We've lost 800,000 people in the last 10 years, even though the population of the country has been growing dramatically. Part of that is because of our high tax rate, our high regulatory climate. So businesses are leaving and jobs are leaving. But with this sales tax, it would go forever. The money would keep flowing, even to school districts whose populations are dropping. And I don't know if you know this, but the News Gazette published just recently that in the last 5 years, Urbana's enrollment dropped 10%. That's pretty serious. Other areas of the county are also not growing. But yet the sales tax money, which would be increasing presumably in a reasonable economy, will keep flowing whether they need it for facilities or not. Mm-hmm. And the only way to repeal this would be if there were no bonds outstanding anywhere in the county, then we could vote. But if there are any bonds in any of the 14 school districts in Champaign County that are still being supported by this, then we can't possibly repeal it. And since bonds go for a very long time, the chances of repeal are very slim. So we would be stuck with a bad law basically forever, whether the schools need it for facilities or not.
Well, I want to give John Dimond a chance to respond to those two points, particularly the first point. And it certainly has happened, as Diana said, and the lottery seems to be the key example where what happened ultimately is an additional a source of additional funding for schools was proposed, which actually did provide the money. But then the money from the general fund actually was cut back. So how would you respond to that concern that ultimately, what might happen is that the state would back off even further from its responsibility to fund education, public education in the state.
Well, I think let's start with the fact that there's a misconception out there that we currently receive money by formula basis for capital improvements. We do not. The money that we receive from the state is for operations. The money that we do get from the state for capital improvements are those occasional grants that are usually competitive in nature, that oftentimes have to do with the political influence of your particular delegation to Springfield. So I don't see the ability to alter the amount of money that we receive from the state because we don't get it now for capital improvements. Most of the capital improvements in any local school district are funded by capital, by the bonds, by the bond issues. And those are not supported in any form or fashion by state government. The other aspect of this particular tax is that sales tax, it's a local sales tax. It's generated the same way that local municipal sales taxes are, generated the same way that the county public safety sales tax is generated. That means it's collected by local merchants. Local merchants submit their payments to the state, to the Office of the Treasurer. And then they have a very, very limited amount of time before they can return that sales tax dollars to, in this case for school sales tax, it would be to the local regional office in education. It is not appropriated by the state. It's not controlled by the budget of the state. The governor has no ability to get his hands on the money for, say, sweeping that they're doing out of other accounts because it doesn't stay in Springfield. It comes back to the regional office in education. Then the regional office in education has a very, very limited amount of time. I've heard two figures. I've heard 20 days or 30 days that they have to redistribute it back to the local school districts. And then the local school districts are the ones that keep the money. And they can either spend it as they collect it, which quite a few of us are planning on doing. They can use it to pay off bonds, or they can use it to pay off existing bonds that are currently property tax funded, or they can issue new bonds that are sales tax funded.
Well, let me just come for a moment here, come back to this question of how it is that schools get money, the methods they have to get money if they're going to do things like build a new school or fix up an old one. Are you okay with the idea of the bond of selling bonds, issuing bonds, which has been the traditional way of doing that?
Well, there actually was a capital fund. There is a capital fund at the state level, and that has been funding schools in the past. It has not been funded since, I think, 2004. But that was a mechanism by which the state actually did grant money. And, in fact, all the local school districts, or at least most of the WIFIT ones, have applications in right now should that capital fund ever be refunded by the legislature in order to use for building. I don't really have a problem with bond issues. That is certainly one way. I mean, it's like having a mortgage payment. I think that what is critical is that voters should be able to say when they feel building is necessary. And one of the problems with this is, again, it would create a sales tax that would last basically in perpetuity for all practical purposes. And voters would never, ever again be able to weigh in on whether or not they feel construction is needed. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this is one of the reasons why school districts want this, is that they will never again have to have a referendum. They will never have to ask for voter approval. But that takes power away from voters. It means we don't have the capacity to say, yes, we think we need this new school, or we need this new field, or something like that. It is now completely left to the school districts to decide this because they have the money to do anything they want to.
Well, let me ask John Dibben to respond to that point, that no sunset. What about that?
Well, in fact, that's correct. There is no there's a sunset clause in the law, but it is not very able to be used. And that is that the county board can do away with it if there is no school district that are relying on the sales tax revenue to pay off bonds.
But
the reality,
as Diana
the reality is that it would be we'd be hard-pressed to find a time when there wouldn't be a school district that would have a bond out there. Now, the county board, however, can reduce the tax rate, and oftentimes the bonds may not require the full 1% to pay off the bonds that are backed by the sales tax revenue. More importantly, I want to talk about the fact that, you know, there's such a hue and cry about this being non-existent. I'll speak to the Urbana experience. I've been on the Urbana School Board for 20 years, and I've watched the schools for longer than that. And roughly every 10 years, Urbana goes out for a building bond referendum. We have constantly, every 10 years. This is the 10th year, and pressure is building on us again to go out for a bond referendum. This case, the focus of that bond referendum is on Washington Early Childhood. And then we've got other needs in our other schools. We've identified $29 million worth of needs. Our schools are valued at $122 million. We will get $3.1 million to $3.2 million out of sales tax if the sales tax revenue is the same this year as it was last year. If you want to, let's lop off a couple of zeros and let's go back to $122,000. That's the average, maybe a pretty good average of a house value in this community. Let's lop off a couple of, you know, three zeros off that $3.2 million and we're at $3,200. Or every year, $3.2 million. I'm sorry, every 10 years, $30,000. If you want to begin to think about that, our schools in this county, there's only been 9 schools built since 1970, 47 schools built before 1970, and a vast sum of those are before 1950. So we've got buildings that are 50 to 70 to, in some cases, nearly 100 years old. And do you spend roughly 3% of your house value on maintenance for your house every year? I think most people do. For that $3,000 that you know, the $122,000 option that I talked about and $3,000, that won't get you a house painted. It won't get you a re-roof. It certainly won't redecorate a kitchen. It won't take care of a bathroom update that needs to be done. All of those things need to be done in schools. We have a need for this money. This is not money from heaven that we don't have very good uses for. And so we need to be careful about throwing out there that this is just money that school districts will waste. And the issue about the voters not being responsive to the voters, I dare say that of all the local elected politicians, and I'm one, that our access to the people, we're very accessible by the people. And so if we don't spend this money appropriately, school boards are one of the easiest bodies to replace, to get new people on there. And I did not support this unless there was property tax relief with this, unless we spend it appropriately, logically, and intelligently. I hope that if I violate those principles, I want my voters to kick me out of office. I want the heat to be so hot in the kitchen that I don't bother to run again. And I would hope that any candidate for school board in the future that calls for inappropriate use of these monies is not elected.
Well, I would like to bring up a topic related to this. Much of my local work has been in creating transparency for local governments, in basically encouraging local governments to post all contracts and itemized expenses on the web, so the taxpayers can see how their money is being spent. The city of Urbana is a fantastic example of this under the leadership of Ron Eldridge. They are posting all of their itemized expenses, and they're working on their contracts. And the county is in a similar position of beginning to post their expenses, and they're doing a plan for doing their contracts. But the schools have not done any of this. Tonight there's going to be a meeting where there will be an initial discussion of transparency for Champaign. I've been told by someone who attended the last meeting that they didn't sound very open to it. And Urbana has not done anything like this either. And I think it's critical. Most government institutions have this information in electronic form. It can very easily be posted on the web so that people can see how the money is being spent. Contracts also need to be on the web so that we can see what the terms and conditions are for some of the ways that the money is being spent. And if the schools really want to have people trust them, they need to start doing this so that they indicate that they really are open, that they don't have anything to hide, so that people can actually monitor how money is being spent, and we, the taxpayers, can figure out, do they need more money or don't they? Yeah. At the moment, there's no way to know.
I would want to give you a chance to respond to this, Mr. Dem, but I tell you, if you wouldn't mind just waiting a moment, I have a caller.
Well, it'll be very fast. If you'd watch the Urbana School Board meetings for the last 3 weeks, three meetings, without presentation from anybody, Urbana School Board is moving and has moved, and we have already started posting all of our transactions on the web.
I think that's great.
All right. We have two guests with us here in the studio, John Dimmitt and Diana Visick. John Dimmitt is a former executive director of the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. He has been on the school board in Urbana for 22 years. He currently is vice president of the Urbana Board of Education. Diana Visick is a political activist here in Champaign County. She also chairs the Champaign County Libertarian Party. And we're talking about a sales tax referendum that is on the ballot next week. People here in Champaign County will be asked to vote yes or no on a 1% sales tax increase that would benefit the county schools, and it would be money that would go to capital projects. And we have a caller here who had been patient, so I don't want to make them wait any longer, in Iroquois County on our line 4. Hello.
Yes, I want to weigh in on the attitudes of people in outlying areas. We get the Gazette, and over the last several months I've been rather disturbed at some of the remarks in there by some of the school officials regarding how we're going to get people in these outlying areas to help subsidize our building projects, et cetera. I think the Rantoul superintendent was quoted saying, well, we can put air conditioning in our buildings. Well, I live in Iroquois County. Schools in our county are old, too. Nobody has much as air conditioning. They don't have any expensive venues, no swimming pools, nothing, no big ticket goodies like that. And personally, I I find this attitude patronizing, insulting, and feel used by it. And I think there's quite a number of other people in the outlying areas that are in the same position. There's schools in their counties that need it, too. And I think there are other ways that schools could have been funded than through this rather, I think, unfair method. Because just using our county as an example, we have no major retail areas, which is, you know, you have to go Danville, Champaign, Lafayette, Kankakee. So even if our county would enact this, the inflow of tax dollars from out of the county into our county would be very small as opposed to the outgo. Therefore, we're going to probably have to pay increased property taxes on top of subsidizing someone else's school. And I think this kind of goes back to a whole basic thing that's wrong with this country and why, frankly, the country's going downhill. It used to be that people were wanted to pull their own weight. They worked hard. They cared about their about getting ahead, what have you. They weren't looking for other people to pick up their responsibilities for them. And I think that's something that has degenerated over the years and is accelerating, frankly, where you see that people are more and more willing to whatever money they have, they want to spend it on what they want to, do what they want to. But then when it comes time to meet their, you know, specific obligations in life, well, that's somebody else's job to do. And I think that this venue of this sales tax is pretty much kind of falls along those lines. I think the people of Champaign County should, if they need better schools, they should pay for their own. The people in Iroquois County, ditto for them, too. And I just, I don't think this is a very fair tax to a lot of people. And I live in an area where I can take my business elsewhere, and I'm going to be taken across the state line to Lafayette.
All right. Well, I appreciate the comment. I won't want to ask John Dimmitt to respond, particularly to this, to the idea that maybe people who previously came to Champaign County to shop, they're going to look at the stacks and they're going to say, well, I'm going to go someplace else, and that Champaign County will actually lose because of this, if this passes.
Well, indeed, they have estimated that roughly 30% of the sales taxes in this county are paid by people that don't live here. But a lot of those folks are tourists that come in from not the people that make regular shopping trips into our community, but tourists. I would like to note that Iroquois County, the caller was from Iroquois County, and Iroquois County also has this on the ballot for this election to implement a similar sales tax in Iroquois County for the schools. So hopefully, as I drive back and forth to Chicago and have to stop in and buy a tank of gas in Gilman, that I'm going to put some sales tax dollars back in that lady's coffers for her schools too. In the ideal situation, if we did this at the statewide level, I would absolutely agree that we should be doing this at the statewide level and redistribution back based on enrollment. The state didn't give us that option. This law is partnered, is patterned after a law in the state of Iowa. And in Iowa, they have roughly 100 counties, five of which are major regional trade centers. But the pattern of what's occurred in the state of Iowa is that all 100 counties have now adopted this. They passed the law in 1998, the state legislature did, and within 3 or 4 years, all the counties had adopted it. They do have a sunset clause that says that it has to be revoted on every 10 years. The law is being re-upped in the county. Every county that has had that opportunity to vote on it, it has been renewed at a plurality of 76% to 77% on average. It's an extremely popular law. It is so popular that Iowa is now making moves towards making it a statewide situation where it has to be voted on statewide. Still collected at the county level, but I understand the frustration of not being a trade center. But when I look around at the counties that surround us, we all do have a lot of different opportunities to take care of our public service needs. And we all have to be in it together. And in this case, this is one where folks that come in from outside are going to help support us. Consequently, you know, when they pay property taxes in Iroquois County, they don't pay for the roads that they drive on or the services that they use in this county as well. If you listen to the county coroner, he'll talk about issues that other surrounding counties don't have coroner offices. And so a lot of times the people come in here for hospitals and we, or Champaign County taxpayers, end up paying the burden. It all kind of goes back and forth and all the way around. The important thing here is to diversify the funding sources that we rely on for schools. Property taxes are not the fairest way to do this.
I really enjoyed the caller. She expressed some real libertarian values, which are refreshing to hear in this county. I do think that some things do even out, but I'm very, very concerned about what this does for competitiveness in Illinois, because the regulatory climate and the tax burden of the state do actually influence our competitiveness. We are 48th in the nation in economic competitiveness. We're only ahead of Michigan and Ohio. That's not a very good place to be in. And sales taxes actually do have an effect on this. I was just reading that Delaware has a very low beer tax compared to neighboring states, and they are cleaning up on beer because people come in from neighboring states to buy their beer. So Delaware is making out like a bandit on the beer tax because it is lower. So by having lower taxes, we actually would have more economic activity. And I'm concerned we're fairly close to the border of Indiana. Other counties are close to other borders. And it's not just a question of going to a different county, but one can actually go to a different state. One can order on the internet. There are many other ways that shoppers can change their shopping patterns in response to higher taxes. Cook County just raised their tax. They're now 10.25%. That's the highest in the country. And if we put this tax in, we in Champaign-Urbana, at least, would be at 8.75%. That's really close to being high, close to being the highest. On gas, we already pay 39.5 cents a gallon in tax, exceeded only by California, Connecticut, and New York. And then the sales tax itself adds perhaps another 20 cents to this. Our sales tax is 6.25%. It's only exceeded by 7 states in this country. So we are already really at the high end of taxation, and we're at the very low end in competitiveness, and this tax is not going to help us.
Let's talk with another caller here. We have someone in, next person in line is in Urbana. They're on line number one right here. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having this program. It's very important. I live in Urbana. I'm voting yes. I have kids, plans to ever have kids, but I believe in the social contract and that we have to do something to improve the quality of the schools that kids go into. And it seems to me on these local tax debates, a lot of times people kind of mindlessly repeat, oh, my God, sales tax is regressive. And they miss two things. The first thing is that our local governments don't have the option to do progressive taxation. We don't have, there's no local income tax, no ability to have a local income tax. So the question facing local government bodies like school boards, county boards, city councils is, are you going to have services or not? If you're going to have services, you have to pay with them with property taxes and sales taxes, and those are aggressive taxes, and those are the only choice in front of us. The long term, absolutely. There should be more federal role. There should be more balanced redistribution of funding. But that's not the choice in front of local bodies right now. It's provide the services, provide the buildings, or not. The other thing is that you have to look at, you know, we're going to have the tax or not have it. We're going to have the service or have the building or not have it. And you have to look at the thing together. If you look at the Social Security program nationally, it's one of the most progressive programs that we have in terms of its impact on poverty and helping older people. The tax that pays for the Social Security program is an aggressive tax, a payroll tax that's capped at $90,000 of income, and there's no deduction. But the Social Security program as a whole is the most progressive program that we have. If someone were introducing the Social Security program today and somebody argued, oh, no, we can't have that because you're going to pay for it with the regressive payroll tax, that would be really misguided because the Social Security program as a whole is progressive. And the same thing is true about spending on schools. There's almost nothing that the government can do to help people at the bottom of the income distribution more efficiently than improving the quality of public education. And part of that is improving the physical plant. When little kids walk into a school that's broken down, society's sending them a message. You don't count. We don't care what happens to you. If you go into, you know, a business or a restaurant, you go into a nice place, and that's because people want you to be there. If the school is breaking down, we're sending a message to the kids, we don't want you to be here. We don't care what happens to you. So we ought to provide the minimum funding necessary to make sure that we have decent, physically decent schools that are safe places for kids to be. And if we need to do a sales tax to do that, then that's what we need to do. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Well, you, Diana, you want to, you can respond to that any way you like.
First of all, I'd like to say that libertarians are strong supporters of education. We feel, in fact, that the country is in the mess that it's in because we haven't properly educated our folks to understand about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and economics and government and other important things that knowledgeable citizens need to know about. But I think there is I think we have to make a distinction between saying that we want a higher, you know, a higher quality of education and saying that that necessarily means more taxes, that there are other ways that we can make things better, and one is by doing things more efficiently and by eliminating waste. And every organization, particularly governmental units, have waste. And both the Urbana school system, the Urbana and Champaign school systems, have examples of big expenditures that they've had in recent years that really were not particularly necessary, that they were really due to negligence by past administrations. I'm referring to the John White case and all the legal fees and the insurance payments that are going to have to come out for that, and also to the unfortunate consent decree that we had to have imposed on us because of negligence of past administrations in dealing with the education of minorities. So it's really, really important that our school administrations are proactive, that they work more efficiently, more proactively to eliminate these things that become huge expenses that really wouldn't have been necessary if they hadn't been negligent. And so that's a third source of, that's another way of improving our quality without actually having to have an increase in taxes.
Well, I want to ask John Demeter, and you probably don't want to respond to the specific cases, or maybe you do, but can you speak to the point of greater efficiency and whether, in fact, that would make enough difference so that you wouldn't be having to go out and ask for more money?
Well, let's respond a little bit to the issue of competitiveness that the caller brought up as well. The Center for Tax and Budget Accountability in the state of Illinois has indicated that the individual tax load in this state is 14.8%. We're the second lowest in the Midwest, only beat out by Missouri at 14.7%. So I'm not sure that our tax burden in this state – now, Diana talked about tax burden and regulatory environment. And in my 30-year career, I've been involved in economic development. And I'm not going to speak to the regulatory issues that she does because I happen to agree that there are some things between this state and surrounding states that do affect our business climate. But I don't believe that the tax burden is one of them. Unless you want to talk about particular kinds of taxes. In the field of economic development, they're very, very concerned about income tax and about property tax. And this measure is one way to get our property taxes lowered. They're not as concerned about sales tax when they're talking about where to go for a plant, for a location of, you know, for an economic development location. And so that's important to understand. In terms of competitiveness, the one thing that people do ask about when they want to move to a community is the quality of schools. And when they drive by and they look at our schools, that is their first measure of quality. Then they go on the web and they look at the test scores. But one thing they do look at are the nature of the buildings. And one only has to travel to Iowa, to Indiana, to Wisconsin, to Missouri, and take a look at the type of facilities the children go to schools. And there is a direct correlation. There's tons of academic studies out there that directly correlate test scores with the quality of the facilities. I couldn't agree more with the caller. And we are letting our children down in this state. Now, one thing that's really, really important to understand is that this tax is for facilities only. It cannot be used for programs, for salaries, for bureaucratic salaries, and so forth. It cannot be done. It's for facilities only. This is the first time in the state that the state has allowed the local government, the local school district, to establish a regular revenue source that is completely reserved for capital. And that's very, very important. And I think it will go to Diana's viewpoints about waste. The biggest waste in our school system, I'll use Urbana. We have a middle school that we spend $390,000 a year to heat and cool every year. Now, that's a monster waste. The high school is much larger than the middle school by about a third, and we only spend $320,000 there. Why? It's because of the energy inefficient windows and insulation that we have in the building that we've not been able to address. This is a very important factor. If we can get enough money reserved for capital improvements to where we can keep up with the technology as it changes, as energy efficiencies happen, we can save money. And that's an important aspect.
I think we need to remember, though, that people are voting in Illinois with their feet. That we have lost 800,000 people in the last 10 years while the country's been growing, and that the Urbana School District itself has lost 10% of its enrollment in the last 5 years. So that there is something going on here that people say, we don't want our kids in the schools, we don't want to live in this state, there is something bigger that we have to address. And that's really what competitiveness is determined by, is do people want to live here? And apparently they don't, and that's unfortunate. And I think the taxes have a huge impact on this.
We have about 10 minutes left. We have some other callers here. I want to try to give them a chance to get in while we still have some time. And for people who may have just tuned in, I'd also like to introduce again our two guests. Diana Vesick is chair of the Champaign County Libertarian Party and is a political activist here in our area. John Dimmitt, he is the vice president of the Urbana Board of Education, has been on the Urbana School Board for 22 years. We're talking here about a sales tax referendum that will be on the ballot in Champaign County next week when people go to the polls. It'll be there. It is a 1% sales tax increase. That's what people are being asked to either say yes or no, that would benefit the schools and would go into the kinds of projects that Mr. Dimmitt here was just talking about. Things like renovation, energy improvement, building new schools if that's necessary. It's all about the physical plant of the schools, not salaries, not anything else. Questions are certainly welcome. 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. And there are several callers here, so I want to try to go next to Bartlett. This is line two. Hello.
Yeah, good morning. Good conversation here. I love this this deal on schools. I used to live down there. I no longer do. I just recently moved up to where I'm at in outside of Chicago, and I got to tell you, having lived in different states, Illinois is one of the worst tax states in the country. I beg to differ with what people say about, you know, like, for instance, California being more expensive. I think it's more expensive here, and this is why I've recently lost my job to the company who's moving out of state, so where it's less taxed. And I use this as kind of like a balancing, you know, soundboard for what the school districts are doing. My property taxes went up 25% from last year. Why? You know, and they say, well, it's for capital taxes, for capital projects. But in reality, and 9 times out of 10, it goes into paying for again the budget, teachers and the school board administrators. I mean, nobody's willing to stand hold on the budget. This is where it comes down to. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gone. I used to work for a school district myself that they say if they didn't get this X amount of dollars this year, next year, they would lose it. And that's where it comes down. It's the way that the, you know, if you have extra money in a capital project fund, are you going to spend it or are you going to save it? You'll spend it because that's just the way that the budget process goes. And to me, it would make more sense to put it in a banking system, let it collect interest for situations like we have now. Overbuilt schools, it's not going to hurt the kids. I mean, to be honest with you, when everybody comes out and says, well, kids are going to be, we're losing education, we're doing this, it's not because the schools aren't doing the jobs, it's because the parents at home aren't doing it. And we've turned school teachers and administrators into babysitters. Anyway, I'll get off, and I really cringe when I say, when I hear people state, you know, but capital projects, it's for capital projects. Well, they all say that, but, you know, it's for the kids, of course. Anyway, thanks.
Okay. Well, I want to ask Diana if you would want to talk about is the fact that there is some provision here for, in a sense, a rebate, a cutting back on property taxes. Some people, it's going to be different no matter where you live, but it looks as if some people actually, if this passes and if the schools do what they say that they're going to do, their overall tax burden will actually be less.
I'm really glad this came up because the News Gazette had a very interesting article in yesterday's paper where they quoted that the average per capita expenditure on sales taxes right now for the 1%, the average per person expense would be $104.46 is what they project. That means if you have a family of five, you are going to be spending $520 more on sales taxes if this tax goes into effect. They also stated that of our 14 school districts in the county, some of them, three of them, in fact, would have no property tax rebate at all. And even in Champaign, there would only be a $50 rebate in property taxes for someone who owned a $150,000 house. So this means if you are a family of five living in a $150,000 house, you would be paying $470 more per year than you are now. So that this rebate, and some people actually are trying to sell this as a tax swap, which it absolutely positively is not, is actually not enough to compensate for the extra taxes that people are going to be paying. And the amount of taxes that you're saving are dependent on how many bonds the school district already has out there and what they pledge from the sales tax to go towards paying off those bonds that are now being paid by property taxes. And people need to remember that that is voluntary, done by the school districts. They could change it at any time that they feel that they need more money. It is not cast in stone. But in the meantime, families are going to be paying significantly more. I think for some families, spending an extra $470 a year on taxes is really steep because our families are stressed right now. There's economic troubles. Taxation is already high. People are losing jobs. I think an extra $500 in taxes is a serious thing.
Yeah, I want to ask John Dimmitt to respond to that same point here. Obviously, that it's this maybe no time is great to ask people for a tax increase, but this is going to be one of the worst.
Well, the economic conditions obviously are not so good today. But I want to respond to the issue of the tax figure that the Gazette quoted. I believe had to do with total sales tax paid on 1% on the total sales tax base, and that included the groceries and the meds and the vehicles. And where we spend most of our sales tax dollars is on vehicles, to be real honest about it. That's the biggest chunk. That's the biggest thing we ever buy that has sales tax attached to it, unless you happen to live in a mobile home because you pay sales tax on mobile homes as well. The tax abatements are limited to what we have in the way of debt. And Champaign is rebating all of the taxes that it can rebate under the law. And in Urbana, we're doing the first $1 million results in about a $67 reduction in property taxes right now. But in 2018, that number is going to quadruple to closer to $300. And so I think we need to be careful on how we're talking about the tax abatements. And I'm going to go right back to the fact that that every school board that has indicated that they're going to rebate taxes did it by unanimous vote. And that means of those, you know, seven people. So you have to really move a school board into a different place than where they are today to get them to renege on that promises. The Champaign School District has come up with a program that they're going to do, which I'm going to have the Urbana School Board copy. And that's a promises made, promises kept scorecard that they're going to issue to their they're going to have it reported, I believe, quarterly to their school board and reported publicly. And I think that's an excellent move. I think that people that have doubts in our ability to follow through on our promises, we should be held accountable, and I think that's an excellent way to do it. I want to talk about the Urbana situation once again. I've been on the school board for, and this goes back to the Collars, some of the Collars' original points. I've been on the school board for 20 years. Urbana hit the point about 10 years ago when our tax rate was $5, our total tax rate was $5.01. We were the highest school tax rate in the county at that point in time. We're now the second lowest. We're at $4.28 for our total tax rate. 65 cents of that is to finance our debt, and the rest of it is for operations. We have shown that we are responsible users of the tax dollars. We do not spend money just because it happens to appear. We've been very, very good about being responsible and attempting to make sure that our feet are held to the fire constantly so that we spend our money that we do have wisely. And I would hope that that would continue for the next 10 years.
We have some other calls here. I don't know if, Diana, would you want to make it?
I think one thing that is an indicator of how regressive this tax is that the major supporters of this tax are people who either are large property owners, such as farmers. The Farm Bureau is supporting this. There are some owners of large parcels of real estate, you know, like several hundred units of apartments, who support this strongly because they will have property tax relief. And the other people supporting it are, of course, the education establishment and also the construction industry because they directly benefit from this tax. So there are many people who will actually benefit from this, but unfortunately it is our normal families and particularly poorer folks, people of less income, who are going to have a lot more of this burden, and I feel really concerned about that.
And I also feel that public schools, quality public schools, are more beneficial to those families at that end of the spectrum than they are anywhere else, because the best way out of poverty is a good education. And if we don't support our schools in a proper way, we're shortchanging those families in the biggest way possible.
We'll try to get at least one more caller, two maybe. The next person in line is in Mahomet, and this is line number three. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
You've already addressed some of what I was going to speak about, and that is that we can't trust you to do with the money exactly what you said you would do with the money, and there seems to be no control if you don't. Just like the lottery, that was just ridiculous. They brought this big gambling entity to our state saying it was going to finance the schools, and now they want to sell it for a profit, and I don't know if the schools are getting anything from it, and I know that's state. But I just don't want to vote to increase my taxes anymore at this point when my property is going down and my property taxes are still going up, even though the value of my house is less. Why should I okay another tax when I don't know that it's guaranteed that you'll use it for capital improvements like weatherization in the school?
Well, I want to make sure, let's be clear about that. Is the guarantee that you cannot do anything else with that money than that?
That's the law. That's the law. You cannot do anything except capital improvements with this revenue.
Then it does free up other revenues to be used for other things, so that money from the current income stream that would be used for repairs would be used for operations.
And the problem is there is no current revenue stream for repairs. That's exactly what the problem is and why schools have not been maintained in this state as they have in other states.
And some of it is, frankly, that school boards are not budgeting for repairs, and also that unions are insisting on getting as much money as possible for salaries. So there is no money in – there is not enough money in current budgets for repairs.
If you're indicating that our teachers are overpaid, I'll let you leave that impression.
We are almost at the point where we have to finish. Maybe I'll try real quick to get one more caller. This will be Champaign on line one. We have to ask you to be quick, but please go ahead.
I'll be quick. First, to be transparent, my name is Pius Weibel. I'm the chair of the Champaign County Board. A comment about the bill. It is a copy of the Iowa bill. There is a major difference in that we don't have a sunset clause. The big reason is that in Iowa, school districts are countywide. So you would never have a circumstance where the county has 14 different school districts. That's why the Illinois legislature did not put in the sunset clause in for this bill. I hope that they do put one in. I think they can. It'll be complex, but it's possible. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So it would be possible retroactively to put a sunset clause into this?
I believe so, and quite honestly, I'm not opposed to that.
I suppose you would question, Diana, whether such a thing would happen.
I think that the legislature probably could do that if they chose to do that. The problem is the legislature is having huge difficulties getting anything significant done. And I think that expecting them to do something like this, to clean up this bill, to make it more palatable, is really unrealistic. And until I actually saw in writing a new bill, a new statute about this, I wouldn't be in favor of voting for it.
All right. Well, we're just about the point we have to finish. We have about a minute. I guess I could give you each 30 seconds to offer your last thought. Diana, you want to go first?
I think this is a very ill-conceived bill. I think we should not vote yes on it until it is fixed. There are just too many things that are wrong with this bill. And also, there are some serious problems of it's just being regressive and of adding to the uncompetitive nature of this state. And I really fear that it is going to harm us, both as a county and as a state, to be funding education in this manner.
All right. John?
This measure is backed by the Farm Bureau, the Mahomet Chamber of Commerce, the Rantoul Chamber of Commerce, the League of Women Voters. Those are not people that generally speak in one voice, but they speak in one voice on this. And there's property tax relief that's involved in this. We've been about the business for 30 years in this state trying to transform how we fund schools. And this is the first and only step that the legislature has given us to diversify the funding base that's used for schools. And I think it's vitally important we move in that direction. Diana earlier said that people were voting with their feet. Well, they did vote with their feet up in the Quad City area, which is why this law was passed. The law was passed in Iowa, and the people in Illinois found out that people were moving to Iowa right and left, and it was because of the quality of schools and the way the schools were funded. That's why this law got passed so quickly by the state legislature, and that's why we need to take advantage of it.
All right. There, we're going to have to leave it with our thanks to our guest, John Dimmitt. He is the vice president of the Urbana Board of Education. Diana Visick, she chairs the Champaign County Libertarian Party. Thank you both very much for being
here. Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.